Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. We are a Jesus-centered community in El Mirage, Arizona. We hope through these conversations your spirit will be stirred. For more information, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
All right, so we're wrapping up a series, maybe wrapping up. We may do one more. I got another idea spinning around in my head, but on our series called Forgotten Realm, where we're looking into the often forgotten and neglected spiritual realm. And so we're not looking for paranormal evil that lives on the back roads across America. It's not been about vampire slayers or werewolf trackers or anything like that, right? We're looking at the supernatural realm as explained in Scripture, the realm of angels and demons and the supernatural and spiritual warfare. One of the passages that has pushed us forward has been Ephesians 6:12. We'll read it today out of the New Living Translation, where it says this: "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." So if it has flesh and blood, they are not your enemy, is what Paul is saying, or at least they are not your ultimate enemy. Now, Paul knew a thing or two about human persecution. He was ran out of town. He was beaten. He was constantly harassed. And at the time that he was writing this letter to the church of Ephesus, he was serving an unjust prison sentence. And so he knew that people could be vindictive, people could be evil, people could inflict pain. But Paul also knew that flesh and blood is not our ultimate enemy, that there is a greater source of evil behind that flesh and blood that is inflicting pain and persecution. There is a greater source of evil behind their actions. And this is the warfare worldview that we see throughout Scripture, the idea that creation has been seized by a cosmic force that opposes God and opposes all that is good. And there is now a cosmic war between a myriad of angels, both human and angelic, both good and evil, that have aligned themselves with either God or Satan. And this means that every person throughout human history, every person who has drawn breath has been entered into a battle zone of sorts, a battle between light and darkness, where all of creation, at least in part, is out of sync with God's original intentions. Now, last week we talked about this idea of demons, and I know that topic is written off to folklore and fairy tales and Hollywood CG, but Scripture paints a completely different picture. Every biblical author, including the teachings of Jesus, point to a personal evil, Satan, with his minions, demons that are under him, that inflict suffering upon creation, which means that anything that is out of God's original intentions, right? There's this war taking place. Anything that is outside of God's original intentions has been affected by this war taking place. Now, while we would not say that there is a demon behind a natural disaster or an earthquake or a hurricane, we could very easily say that there is a demonic push behind those things because all of creation has fallen. The laws that God has originally intended for creation have been broken because sin has entered into the world. And there is now a spiritual battle that is taking place, and all that God created is now under under oppression. And God's promise is to one day to recreate his original good intentions out of this chaos. That is the tension that we wait for and the tension that we live in. So today we're going to continue our topic on spiritual warfare, and we're going to explore possibly the most common way that the enemy attacks us. Today I want us to look at the battle for your mind. Because the question isn't whether there will be a battle for your thoughts. The question is who will win. There will be a battle. The question is who will win. Join me as we pray. We jump into God's word today. Holy Spirit, we're going to look at a topic that affects every one of us today. Because we all are in this battle. And the question is not, will there be a battle? The question is, who will win? And so, would you speak clearly? Would you enlighten us? Would you unveil the areas of our lives that maybe we have bought into some lies? Maybe there is some deception. And would you shine your light into that darkness? Would you reveal truth to us? I pray that as I speak, that Holy Spirit, you would be speaking to every person here, every person that listens on the podcast, that you would be speaking to them, revealing areas that maybe we're not living in truth, but maybe we've bought into a lie. Would you speak? And as we continue, even with our offering now, we want to just take a moment. We want to acknowledge what you have given us. We want to acknowledge your goodness to us. We don't want to take things for granted, but we want to put you first, even in this area of our finances, which is so difficult for us because it grips us. But we make a decision to put you first, and this is a way of demonstrating that and a way of worshiping you with it. And so, Holy Spirit, be with us in the next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's talk about the battle for your mind. Satan's primary method of harassment is to introduce thoughts that will then influence our feelings and as a result influence our actions and then change the trajectory of our lives. Let me say that again. Satan's primary method of harassment is introducing thoughts that will influence our feelings and thus influence our actions and then change the trajectory of our lives. Think about this. Whoever controls your thoughts controls your future. Whoever or whatever controls your thoughts controls your future. Because if you think about something long enough, you will eventually begin to lean in that direction. It does not happen in one giant leap. It doesn't happen in one jump. It is a slow fade. It is a gentle drift, a movement that is almost imperceptible. But imperceptible movements over a long enough period of time results in a drastic change of scenery. And we've all said it before. We've had people ask the question where they stated something along this line, I don't know how I got here. Or how did this happen to me? Or how did I get here? Well, here's how it happened. It happened slowly. It was one thought that led to another. It was a thought that led to a feeling that led to an action that led to a trajectory change, a slow fade, a gentle drift, until at some point we wake up and we ask the question, how did this happen to me? How did I get here? Look at 2 Corinthians 11, where Paul says this. He's writing to the church of Corinth. He says, but I am afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Paul's concern is for the mind, because whoever holds your mind holds your future. And he says, I'm concerned that your mind or your thoughts have been deceived. In other words, he's saying, I'm concerned that your thoughts have been taken captive. I'm concerned that your thoughts, your mind, is under siege. It's been hijacked, and you're being led astray by thoughts that are not your own. Paul's reference to the creation account is when he says, the deceiver that cheated Eve is the same deceiver who's coming after us. Now, you've heard me say this numerous times. The worst part of being deceived is that you're deceived. And if you knew you were deceived, you would stop being deceived. You would change your thinking. The worst part of being deceived when we're not thinking clearly is that we don't know we're not thinking clearly because we are deceived. And Paul says, look, I'm concerned that the great manipulator, the one who deceived the mind of Eve, is now coming against you and luring you away slowly, right? He lured Eve away by planting thoughts in her mind, thoughts that said, God is jealous and hoarding power. He dropped thoughts in her mind that God is holding out on you, that God is keeping you from your potential, or go ahead and do it. It won't be as bad as God said. And he's luring her away by deceptive thoughts. Now, catch something important here. Satan's method of deception is to place his thoughts, go to that next slide, please. Satan's method of deception is to place his thoughts in your mind until you believe his thoughts are your thoughts. His method of deception is to place his thoughts in your mind until you believe that his thoughts are your thoughts. And when his thoughts have been in the soil of your mind long enough, they begin to take root and his thoughts become your thoughts. And when his thoughts become your thoughts, he has you. Because if the voice sounds like me, I would never lie to myself. Of course, we tell ourselves that, but we lie to ourselves all the time. And so when the voice of the accuser is one that I can push against, but when the voice of the accuser becomes so familiar that it sounds like my voice, that's when I'm in trouble. And so that's his method. We'll plant his thoughts in my mind until I believe that his thoughts are my thoughts. Look at Genesis 3:6. Here's the account he's referencing. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. When his thoughts became her thoughts, she was deceived. But here's the key. It was never her thought to begin with. Tony Evans says, it was not her thought by origination. It became her thought by adoption. Because that's what the enemy does. There's a battle for the mind. There's a battle for our thoughts because whoever controls your thoughts controls your future. And once he had her mind, he had her emotions or her feelings, and feelings are hard to shake. How many times have we said, well, I can't help what I'm feeling? Right? You get in a fight and you say, this is what I feel, and somebody says, well, that's stupid. And you're like, well, I can't help what I'm feeling. Well, our feelings were determined by a thought that preceded the feeling. And so there's this problem. There's this thing of whoever controls your mind controls your thoughts. Whoever controls your thoughts controls your feelings. And when Eve felt it, she acted upon it. And this is the pattern for our lives as well. And Satan knows that if he can get your thoughts, that he can get your future. Whoever controls your thoughts controls your future. Look at Colossians 2:8. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive. The idea is, see to it that no one cheats you and no one carries you off through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental, here it is, spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Paul's now telling the church of Colossae, he's saying, look, there is a spiritual element that's coming against you. And if you're not careful, if your thoughts are not guarded, these spiritual powers will deceive you with thoughts that are not the thoughts of Christ. And eventually, their thoughts will become your thoughts. And once they have your thoughts, they have your future. This idea of see to it that no one takes you captive. The phrase is referencing carrying off the spoils of war. And so really what Paul is saying is see to it that you do not become the spoils of war. What he's saying is there's a battle that's taking place, and if you lose, then what is rightfully yours will be taken from you, and you will become the spoils of war. Have you ever had something stolen from you? I have a friend of mine who just had something stolen from him this week, about $1,000 worth of stuff. It's an odd sensation knowing that somebody has something that belongs to you. If you've had something stolen, you know what that's like. There's a violation that occurs. And this idea of that somebody took what I worked for and somebody took what was rightfully mine. And here Paul is unpacking this idea that once the enemy has conquered your thinking, your future is up for grabs. And as an heir of the kingdom of God, you have been given all spiritual blessings that God has departed to you, right? Gospels and scripture is clear about that. And what Paul is saying is that in an heir of the kingdom and all that comes with it, if your thoughts are conquered, Satan will take from you what is rightfully yours now in Jesus Christ. Like you will be carried off. What should be yours will be carried off as a spoil of war. How exactly are we taken captive? How are we cheated? There it is. Deceptive philosophy, human tradition, elemental spiritual forces of this world. C.S. Lewis said we fall into two categories when it comes to our worldview of spiritual forces. One is that we have an excessive, unhealthy interest where everything is demonic. And he said the other side was we have a disbelief or we're in complete ignorance and nothing is demonic. And we said, look, there's health in the middle. The reality of it is that there is a spiritual realm. And if we're only doing battle in a natural realm with natural weapons, we will fight the wrong enemy on the wrong front. And so this is our struggle. If we're not alert, we will be cheated out of our future. So let's talk about how do we win this battle for the mind. Here's some thoughts that I put down. The first idea is let's fight for truth. How do we win the battle of the mind? Fight for truth. Let this be for some of us, let this kind of be our line in the sand moment. Back in World War I, there was a propaganda slogan that was used to express the determination during the Battle of Verdun as the enemy was coming in. And it was spoken in speeches, it was put up on posters and hung around the city, and it was simply this: they shall not pass. Now, for some of you that you're too young for that, you remember that line, Gandalf confronting the Balrog in the Mines of Moriah, right? In the Mines of Moriah, right? Some of you geeks, you're like, yeah, that was awesome, remember? Best scene in the movie. He puts down his staff and he's like, you shall not pass. Nobody? No. Oh, I'm sorry, you're Christians. You didn't watch it. Let's talk about Fireproof. Remember in the movie Fireproof? No, because there was no good scenes in it. All right, moving around. No, I'm joking. Don't hate me here. Right? This idea of you shall not pass. And this needs to be our line in the moment. Well, we're going to fight for truth. And I mean, some of those lies that have come against us repeatedly, we develop this idea that you shall not pass here. The lies of self-image, you shall not pass. The lies that tell me that my past will determine my future, you shall not pass here. The lies that say you're going to be just like your mother or just like your father, or you'll never be able to break those family bondages that have been through generations, you shall not pass here. Whatever it is, the lie that you've been buying into, that we begin to fight for truth and say, you shall not pass. That this is my line in the sand moment, and I will begin to fight for truth because whoever holds my thoughts holds my future. So how do we fight? There was a passage when I was a kid, still one of my memory passages. Go ahead and put up James 4. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Early on, 17, 18, 19 years old, I memorized this passage. And I remember this, and I focused on resist the devil and he will flee. Resist the devil and he will flee. And there's people going around resisting the devil. I rebuke the devil. I resist the devil. I resist. And we forget about the first part. The power's in the beginning. And we've missed this little two words, submit yourself. See, we love the second part. Resist the devil, he will flee. There's times I think that we resist the devil without submitting, without aligning ourselves to Christ, and the devil's like, I'm going to walk away for a couple minutes. I'll be right back. I seriously think that happens because we miss the power in this first part of submit yourself to God. This idea is to submit means to arrange your life under someone above you. That my life is not my own. If you're a follower of Christ, your life is not your own. That you have submitted your life, that you are aligning yourself, it's a process, you are aligning yourself with Christ. And as you do that, something begins to happen, right? It's a transformation process that begins to happen. And then Scripture says it's an if-then. If you submit yourself to God, then you will begin to resist the devil and he will flee from you. For some of us, we need to begin to fight for truth. Here's an idea. Renew your mind with truth. How do we win the battle for your mind? What does it mean to renew your mind with truth? Look at Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. It means begin to have your thinking changed. by the renewing, there it is, of your mind. Scripture is always talking about this idea of renewing the mind because this is where one of the battlefronts that we fight, where we engage in battle. Now look at the next part. What is the result of a renewed mind? You will then be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you want to know the will of God, if you want to know the good, pleasing purposes of God, Scripture begins to tell us, hey, begin to have your thinking transformed by the power of God. And then you will prove, you will begin to know and understand and sense what the will and the purpose of God is. How do we renew the mind? Here's some thoughts that I have. Memorize and meditate on Scripture. Listen, I wish all of you would get this because it would transform your life. If you would begin to meditate and memorize Scripture, I will give you a money-back guarantee in 12 months, your life will look radically different. This isn't my promise. This is Isaiah 55 where God says, "So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will accomplish what I desire and it will succeed in the matter for which I sent it." Every time, he says, "My word will not return void." So if you put his word into you, he says, it will accomplish exactly what I want it to accomplish. Now, for some of you, there needs to be a twinge of hope in you to say, maybe this is part of what I'm missing. Maybe I need to begin to meditate and memorize the word of God because then God will accomplish, his word will always accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. Begin to take back your thinking. And if you want to take back your future, you're going to have to begin to take back your thinking. Here's my suggestion. Start with passages that deal with something that you're struggling with. So if you're struggling with a self-image, Google, what does the Bible say about self-image? You're going to get a list of verses, read through them, find one that resonates with you. I promise you, you're going to. Something's going to jump out and you're going to like, man, that's strong. Now, for me, because I started this when I was 18, I have a stack of 3x5 cards. I wish I put them digitally so I had them on my phone. But I have a stack of 3x5 cards, and I would write it on that card for you. Get an app and put it in your phone, and there's some great apps out there, and so you'll have them with you all the time. And if you're struggling with faith, Google, what does the Bible say about faith? Find a passage that resonates and put it to memory, and then begin to meditate on it. Ask yourself, what does this mean? God, speak to me through this verse, and just begin to ruminate on it, and something will begin to be birthed in you. If you're struggling in your marriage, Google, what does the Bible say about being a good husband, a good wife? And find something, put it to memory. Fear, what does the Bible say about fear? The faithfulness of God, whatever it looks like, start with something that you're dealing with. Now, momentum is important. Here's my next suggestion. Begin to take the verses that you already know or know 80% of and add it to your collection. So everybody knows John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, right? Everybody, you know that or you kind of know it, right? All of a sudden you got two scripture memory verses. And then just for good measure, put down, "And Jesus wept." Now you got three, right? Now, so then you begin to find the scriptures that you already know. Maybe you don't know the reference, but you have an idea of it. And before you know it, you're going to have 10 or 15 verses almost instantly. Some of them are new because they're dealing with something that you're already dealing with. Some of them are like, I kind of already knew this, but I just wrote it down. And you will begin to build momentum in this area of your life. Now, don't tell me you can't memorize scripture when you can memorize every song on the top 40, right? You can memorize scripture. And I wish some of you would get it. It has been the most influential and powerful thing in my life to put scripture to memory because it allows you to meditate on it regardless of where you're at or what you're doing. And you will be amazed how the Holy Spirit will speak to you through scripture that you have begun to put into memory. So how do we renew the mind? Meditate on God's word. Here's an idea. Make this your daily prayer. God, renew my mind with truth. Because a lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it is true. Right? Years ago, we believed the world is flat. Everything comes full circle now. Some people believe the world's flat again, these flat earthers. That we believed a lie. We believed a lie as if it was truth. And we thought, well, if we sail too far, we're going to fall off the edge of the earth. Because a lie believed as truth will affect our lives as if it were true. So let me open up to you a lie that I've believed was true. And I've shared this before with you. I kind of take you into one of the dark rooms in my mind. We'll unlock the door, head down into the basement where I keep my memories. We'll walk past my high school football trophies as captain of the football team. Move around my prom king crown that's over there and my voted like most likely to succeed plaque over there. Not bad for homeschooling, if I do say so myself. And so that was a joke for some of you. My dad was extremely aggressive when it came to work. Born and raised in Germany, came over here. All he knew was how to work, and so he expected his boys especially to work as hard as he did. That meant at 12 years old, he expected you to work like a 30-year-old, which was impossible. And so I heard growing up the lie that I'm lazy. And that was how he used to try to motivate us. And if chores weren't done, I was lazy. And I did all of these other things because I was lazy. And I understand what he was trying. All he knew to give his family was the value of hard work. But I've spent most of my adult life trying to prove that I'm not lazy. And so for the longest time, it's like, yeah, days off are really uncomfortable because I could be working. I could be doing something. And so this has been a regular prayer. God, renew my mind with truth because I've bought into a lie that feels like it's truth, but whoever controls your thinking controls your future. And so this idea of this prayer, maybe this needs to be your prayer. God, renew my mind with truth. Some of you, you're getting, you know, the Holy Spirit's dropping these little things into your life now where you realize that's a lie that I've been believing. And we're going to give you a moment. We're going to pray over that in just a moment. Here's another idea. How to renew your mind. Memorize and meditate on God's word. Daily prayer. Here's the next one. Change it up. Meaning that whatever your daily routine is that has put you into this position, begin to change it. I'm guessing on some level it hasn't been healthy. So in other words, begin to feed your mind with a healthier food. And so if your normal routine to work is listening to the radio, maybe you're going to find a podcast that's going to feed your spirit. Maybe you're going to listen to scripture. Maybe you're going to get an Audible account and you're going to listen to a book that's going to address something that you're struggling with. And I know some of you are thinking, well, I don't know where to start and what am I supposed to do and this is going to be difficult. Well, refer to point one, fight for truth. It's going to take some effort and it's going to take some work, but this is your line in the sand moment. So what is it that you can change up that can feed into your spirit? Look, I have to do this on a regular basis. There are times when I can go, you know, in a pattern of listening to talk radio, especially sports and stuff like that, and I can go with that and everything's fine. And then, you know, eventually it's like, I'm starting to notice some things about me that just, you know, it's not the person I want to be. And so I have to change things up. And I go back to some of my Audible books and you know, podcasts and things like that. And recognize those things. It's a slow fade. It's not a giant leap. Here's my last idea. Develop a support system. In other words, give some people permission to ask you, how are you doing with your thought life? How are you doing with this fight? And you're going to need to go to people and say, look, I'm asking you, I'm giving you permission to ask me the difficult question. Don't shy away from it. You may want to use the phrase, give me the last 10%, meaning the first 90% of any conversation is usually, you know, we can give it, and then the last 10% is the hardest part, and that's the part that we typically shy away from. You need to say, hey, give me the last 10%. Ask me the really down and dirty question. I'm giving you permission. Build a support structure, because we will no longer allow our thought life to be held captive by the enemy. and allow ourselves to be carried away. Here's our last scripture this morning, 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world, right? It's not natural. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. A stronghold is a place of strength where evil is entrenched and embedded. Strongholds are not often in the open. They're not easily exposed. They're well defended and they're difficult to attack. And sometimes we believe that the strongholds in our lives will never fall. The reference kind of alludes to this idea, this demolishing strongholds gives a reference to someone held captive by deception. And so Paul's saying, look, we all have strongholds in our lives, but the weapons that we fight with are not natural, but they are divine and spiritual in nature. Meaning this, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. And so how much more should we be able to do battle against the strongholds that hold us in bondage, our thinking, and allow God to begin to free us, and it is a process, begin to free us from the lies that we have believed. Because whoever holds your thoughts holds your future. And Satan's method is to drop his thoughts in my mind until I believe his thoughts are my thoughts. And when that happens, I've already lost the battle. You can remain seated. Let me pray for us today. Would you just take a moment and would you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you? Some of you, I'm confident that you've already had the Holy Spirit speaking. It came as an impression. It came as a word across your mind's eye. It came as a feeling. An area in your life that you've allowed to go unchecked. The enemy's been sneaking in with his thoughts, and you've begun to believe they are your thoughts. Whatever that area, would you now just begin to ask that God would renew your mind with truth? And by saying that prayer, you're saying, this is my line in the sand moment. I'm going to fight for truth. Look, the prayer is great and God will help, but you're going to have to fight for this. But would you ask that God would begin to renew your mind? He would begin to flush away all of the lies that have built up, the half-truths that have affected us, the things that have kept us away from the things of God. For some of us, just stay in an attitude of prayer. God's word is, there is nothing and no one that can stand between you and the good intentions I have for you this morning. That there is no demon, there is no event, there is no person, there is no form of evil, there is nothing that can stand between you and my good intentions for you. So Lord, today is our line in the sand moment that we want to fight for truth. For some of you, this week is a journey of meditating and memorizing God's scripture. And I want to hear from you how that goes. I'm telling you, it's going to ignite something in you like nothing you've ever known. And so I pray that you would be led by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, and that we would do battle over the arena of our thoughts and mind, and that we would ultimately submit ourselves to God, align ourselves with Him as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church, I hope that ministered to you a little bit. If you'd like prayer, come on down. We'll have some people up here. I'd love to pray for you, have someone pray for you. Also, if I've never met you, I'd love to meet you and just shake your hand. Hey, don't forget, do you even serve, bro? We need some men and women who would sign up and help with our children's ministry. Look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.